may be one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved in making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
Welcome to another episode of G220 Radio. This is episode number 249. Have you lost your ever-loving mind? This is a pre-recorded show, so don't call into the program tonight because we won't be able to take your calls and won't be able to respond to you because, again, this show is pre-recorded. But we do have a pretty good program lined up for you tonight. Looking forward to getting into some of the topics that we will be discussing here on this program. And hope you will be edified, encouraged, and challenged by it as well. And if you have any questions or comments about the things that you hear on G220 Radio, then please go to G220Radio at gmail.com. Again, that is G220Radio at gmail.com. You can send us your questions, your feedbacks and comments, whatever you have for us here at G220 Radio, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. Also, go and like G220 Radio Network on Facebook and on Twitter. Follow us there. And you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. And then if you do that, you can get everything that comes out as soon as it comes out. If you don't know, with G220 Radio, we are a network, but we are networking with local churches. We do have the G220 Radio Show, which you're listening to right now, as well as a Tongue Waggers podcast program that we also offer. But we have a partnership and working together with local churches. We have a love and desire for the local church. We know that God works through the church and through the local churches to bring forth his message into the world. So we really support the local churches. And so what we're doing here with G220 Radio is sponsoring and partnering with local churches that support us in return. And we put out their programs, or their sermons, I should say, not programs, but we put out their sermons on Sundays here. And so you can hear sermons from Elyria Baptist Church, as well as Covenant Community Church and Faith Baptist Church in Duncanville. You can also hear from Pilgrim Bible Church. And so these are just a few churches, and we have some more possibly going to be added to the network that you can listen to and hear on Sunday afternoons, because we really want you to be edified, encouraged, strengthened, and grow in your understanding of who Jesus Christ is. We are Reformed. I personally am a Reformed Baptist, holding to Reformed Baptist Covenant theology, and so I ascribe to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. However, we do have one show or one church local church that we do play here that is not a Reformed church. We do that in order to give you guys an opportunity to listen to another view. They do preach the gospel. They do faithfully try to expound the Word of God. We would have some differences with them, but we do play that for you to go ahead and listen to things and be discerning, as well as maybe even be edified from that. Because sometimes I think we can think we can't be challenged or edified or encouraged by brothers and sisters in Christ who don't hold to everything that we do, which is one of the things I'm going to be talking about here later in the program. But I think we can learn to be gracious and loving and learn from one another, even if we don't agree with everything that a brother or sister in Christ may hold to. And again, we will talk about that a little bit more later in the program. But again, we got a good show lined up for you tonight. I'm looking forward to this program. Again, it is pre-recorded, so it's not live, so there is no chat room. There is no calling into the program tonight. We are pre-recorded. We are spending time with our families this evening. Brother George, he is off on leave or vacation for you non-military people. He is out there visiting family in his hometown, and so pray for his trip. Pray for the safety of them when they do travel back home, and that they would just have a refreshing, enjoyable time at home with family members. And myself, like I said, this is pre-recorded, so I am enjoying some time with my family today, just hanging out. Had some outreaches that I'm going to get into that as well later in the program here and talk about some of that. But we will be right back after this commercial break. Hey, this is Ricky Gantz of G220 Radio. You know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we know how vitally important it is for us to read the Word of God every single day. Well, I want to tell you another way in which you can take the Word of God in to your life on a daily basis. When you're driving to work or you're going on a trip, maybe you're walking out, doing some exercise or running, with an audio Bible, you can take the Word of God in no matter where you are. Audio Bibles come in many different translations: New American Standard, English Standard Version, New King James, King James Version. With today's technology, we have absolutely no excuse to take the Word of God in. An audio Bible is a great way to take the Word of God wherever you go. Today is July 4th, 2017. Independence Day. It's the day where we celebrate the independence, the freedom of this nation. But I think that we need to ask ourselves about true independence, about true freedom. So the question I want to ask you today, I want to ask you to ponder this question, to think about it, to ask yourself, have you experienced true independence? Have you experienced true freedom that is, from the penalty of your sin? You see, we are all sinners. We've all fallen short. We were born in sin with a sin nature. And so we are truly not free. We have a sin nature that dictates everything in our life. And we are slaves of sin. But Jesus Christ came, died on a cross, was buried, rose again to set us free from the bondage of sin, to set us free and give us true independence, true freedom that's only found in Jesus Christ. Have you received true independence? Are you no longer a slave to your sin, but are now free in Jesus Christ and a slave to Him? Ponder that question. Think about that today. If you have not received faith in Jesus Christ, if you have not repented of your sins, then I want to encourage you to turn to Jesus Christ today and do so. If you have any questions about that, email us at g220radio@gmail.com. Welcome back to G220 Radio. Where I want to go now is I want to discuss something that sometimes we see a lot happen on social media. There's lots of theological debates and arguments and people not agreeing on things and always wanting to put their two cents in on something. And I mean, we're all guilty of that in some way, shape, or form. So I put a video up on the G220 Ministries YouTube page about this topic, and here it is.
If they want to silence me, I'ma preach. I'ma preach that truth, I'ma preach. If they want to threaten me, I'ma preach. I'ma preach that news, I'ma preach. If they want to imprison me, I'ma preach. I'ma preach that word, I'ma preach. If they want to kill me, I'ma preach. I'm a preach on Jesus.
This is Ricky Gantz with G220 Ministries, and I wanted to talk real briefly this morning about something that I saw on social media the other day. I'm Reformed in my theology. I'm a Calvinist. I hold to the doctrines of grace. I hold to Reformed Baptist covenant theology. And while I affirm that and while I hold to that, I believe that sometimes we can be ungracious in the way that we treat brothers and sisters in Christ who are not Reformed, who are not Calvinistic. And what I mean by that is, or I should say, what I don't mean by that is that it's not that we don't defend truth. It's not that we don't speak up when there are heresies or there are completely false teaching being promoted. But I think we have to understand, if we truly understand the doctrines of grace, if we truly understand Reformed theology, then that should make us some of the most gracious people. And understanding that we didn't come to Reformed theology, many of us, as soon as we became a Christian. We came to Reformed theology over time, over growth, over understanding the scriptures, not just right away jumping right into Reformed theology. And so I think we need to be more gracious with our brothers and sisters who haven't got there yet or may never get there, because we understand it's by the grace of God. So unless somebody is promoting outright heresy, then I think we need to be gracious with them and loving with them, maybe pointing them to things in the scriptures and praying that God would open their eyes and reveal more truth from the Word of God to them, just as He is continuing to reveal more truth to us, because nobody has perfect theology. Again, I strongly hold to Reformed Baptist Covenant theology and hold to the doctrines of grace. But I think we as Christians can show and demonstrate the love for other believers, the love that we have for our brethren, when they are not on the same level that we think we are. And we can be gracious in that.
If they want to silence me, I'ma preach. I'ma preach that truth, I'ma preach. If they want to threaten me, I'ma preach. I'ma preach that news, I'ma preach. If they want to imprison me, I'ma preach. I'ma preach that word, I'ma preach. If they want to kill me, I'ma preach. I'ma preach on Jesus, I'ma preach.
So as I was talking about in that video there that I played for you, the audio of it, we can be more gracious as believers in Christ with brothers and sisters who don't agree with us on every single theological point. You don't have to be a Calvinist to be a Christian. Now, there are things that we would say, if there are heresies, if there are things that are being taught that are completely heretical and damnable, then we speak out against those. I'm not saying we don't speak for truth. I'm not even saying that as a Calvinist, I don't stand up for the doctrines of grace and say that this is what I believe to be true by the Word of God. And I think that's important for us to be able to have those dialogues and conversations with brothers and sisters in Christ, but we can do so in a way that's gracious and loving and able to listen to one another and interact with one another without trying to cut each other down or say that a person's not a believer or that they're whatever because they don't agree with our 5 points of Calvinism. But I do believe that we need to speak up for things that are unbiblical, absolutely. So I don't want that to be misunderstood, which is what we're going to be talking about here next when we get into the whole LGBT community and the fact that they want to be accepted. Many of them want to be homosexual Christians, lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender Christians, which does not go together. And we're going to talk about that right after we come back from this break. Have you subscribed to G220 Radio? You can do so by going to iTunes, subscribing. Make sure you rate and review us as well. Go and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can also rate and review us on our Facebook page. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear feedback about what you think of the G220 Radio program. You can send your feedback to g220radio@gmail.com, or you can send us right direct messages on Facebook, on Twitter, or you can inbox us. You can inbox me, Ricky Gantz, or you can inbox George Alvarado. We would love to hear your feedback. We would love to know what you think about the program. If you have any ideas for upcoming shows, or any ideas or thoughts on what you've heard on one of our shows, again, send us the feedback. We would love to hear from you. We're going to have a special episode of G220 Radio tomorrow afternoon where we interview Kurt Allen, also known as Kurt Kennedy, about his upcoming album that's going to be released on 7/7/17. That's this Friday. It's chapter 4 of the Frustrated Christian series of albums that he's put out. And so you're going to want to tune in tomorrow to hear this program, this interview that we did with Kurt Allen, and then support that brother. Get his album. Check it out. You'll really benefit from it. I know I've benefited from the first 3 in the Frustrated Christian series, and really excited, looking forward to this. So you're going to want to listen to that interview tomorrow and find out about this upcoming album. All right, now I want to talk about this article that I seen on the Christian News Network. This lesbian woman creates LGBT Bible app to promote inclusivity within the church. There's a lot wrong with that title, but let's take a lesbian woman who is frustrated by the lack of homosexual-friendly material available in Christian bookstores has created what she describes as the first LGBT Bible app, featuring resources that celebrate homosexuality and do not condemn same-sex sexual behavior as being sinful. So much to talk about in that first little paragraph there. Number one, this lesbian woman says there's a lack of homosexual-friendly materials available in a Christian bookstore. Well, if it's truly a Christian bookstore, there should not be homosexual-friendly material in that bookstore. There should be materials that help people who have come out of that, or helping people hear the gospel that would bring them out of that by changing their heart, renewing them, bringing them to redemption in Christ Jesus. But friendly materials that are available in Christian bookstores for homosexuals in a friendly manner, accepting of it and embracing it, would go against Christian values, Christian principles, would go against the very word of God. So therefore, it shouldn't be something you would find in Christian bookstores that would celebrate that. So this woman has created this first LGBT Bible app featuring, as it says, resources to celebrate homosexuality. And they do not condemn same-sex sexual behavior as being sinful. But the Bible clearly states that homosexuality is a sin, just like lying, thieving, blaspheming, adultery, fornication. None of these sins, if you stay in them, will you be able to inherit the kingdom of God. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, and such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been regenerated, you've been renewed basically in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, because you are now new in Christ, you have new life, you've experienced that new life, you're no longer dead in those sins and trespasses. You have now been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's not condoning that sexual sin or that type of sin. It's not embracing that type of sin. It is completely a change from that, a turning from that, a repentance. That's what it is, a turning from, a change of mind towards that sin. So this lady, it goes on to say in this article that this lady made this app for and was giving this interview, says, this app is for people who identify as spiritual but not religious. Okay, spiritual but not religious. I have my pet peeve when people say it's a relationship, not a religion. It is religion. We can look into the word and understand the definitions of the word, and being religious or being a religion is to follow a set of practices or beliefs. Being religious, again, we would follow a set of practices or belief. However, we are not saved by our religious activity. We are only saved, we are only saved through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The article says, progressive Christians who have had premarital sex and don't care, who are frustrated with purity culture, who are pro-choice, pro-women, and who want to accept and embrace interfaith connections, and that's what she's saying here in this article there. And if you hear that in the background, that is my five-month-old, and she is having fun sitting at Daddy's desk, playing with some of the things on Daddy's desk, and making some noise as I am trying to record this program. Right, Piper? Got something to say? You got something to say? So anyways, going on and continuing with this article, this woman who saying basically that these are people who are having premarital sex and they don't care. They don't care about it. And they're frustrated with purity culture, who are pro-choice, pro-women, and who want to accept and embrace interfaith connections. Okay, number one, if you're having premarital sex and you don't care, that is a problem. That is a problem. Again, that goes against the very word of God. Fornication. All fornicators will have their place in the lake of fire. You must repent. Being frustrated with the purity culture of wanting to be pure, right, Piper, you hear that? Wanting to be pure and live a life that is holy before the Lord and in His righteousness. The article continues to say that this lady, Crystal Cheatham, who created this app, hails from Philadelphia, and she describes herself as a lesbian Christian. Again, that goes against the Word of God. Not that somebody could not be a former homosexual or a former lesbian, but you cannot live a lifestyle of sin and yet be a Christian. Although she once thought that her same-sex attraction was incompatible with her belief in God, she has since decided to embrace and celebrate her lesbianism. Again, this is what we see in the culture in which we live in today, and just because of sin, the way that it affects every aspect of our lives, and we see that there's this tendency that people, instead of repenting of their sin, instead of seeing their sin for what it actually is and turning from that, they want to embrace it and say, you know what, I'm just going to celebrate my sin. And I'm happy with that. I'm okay with that. When the Bible goes against that, the Word of God goes against that in saying that we cannot stay in our sin and still be Christians. First John says that the fact that if you live a practicing lifestyle of sin, you're not in the faith. You can't live that practicing lifestyle like that, of whatever the sin may be. Not that we don't sin as Christians, but we can't live a practicing lifestyle that's a consistent way of living for us that we turn around and then say, well, yes, I'm still a Christian, though. And so also in this article, it says that she is a black lesbian. She says, I'm black, I'm lesbian, and I'm tired of feeling like my faith doesn't matter. She said in a press release, she said, some think it's an anomaly that a black lesbian can be a Christian, but there are many out there like me. Well, again, sadly, there are many out there who would profess to be a Christian while still holding on to their sin and not repenting of it and turning to Jesus Christ. But the truth of the matter is, you can't be a Christian and hold on to your sinful lifestyle. God is holy. He's set apart from sin. And so therefore, we need to understand that when God comes and changes a person's heart, they no longer stay in that sinful lifestyle. They no longer stay and desire those sinful things that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. You now have new desires. So there may be a lot of people out there that would say the same thing, but it does go against your faith, and you must turn to Jesus Christ again. So all that to say, there's these, so many people are trying to, within this movement that would profess to be Christians, to get you to accept it, to get you to embrace it, to say, look, there's not enough stuff for us as Christians, and we are tired of being put aside and treated as if we are less than others within the Christian faith. Well, that's the whole key thing there, is that you're not within the Christian faith, and which is why you need to repent and turn to Jesus Christ, who can save you and take you from being dead in your sins and trespasses and give you new life. That is what it means to be in the Christian faith. Transitioning from that, after we come back from the break, we're going to talk about our time down at the Cleveland Pride Parade a couple weeks ago, where we went out to evangelize those that were there in support of and endorsing homosexuality.
But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Woe to he who calls evil good and good evil. It's funny how the media portrays things. They really pushing hard for this gay thing. And it's so wicked how they manipulate things. Can't even disagree without them making it a hate thing. I say you wrong and you holler hate instantly. But you say we the ones who don't tolerate differences. There's a whole lot of things I could say really, but see, your hypocrisy is something I can paint vividly. Let's go. Saying it's the way you was born, and I'm sure that you lust like I do, just in a different form. But I'm married, so if I give in to mine, I'm a cheater. If you give in to yours, you just fight to make it legal. You rather fight God than fight sin. The Bible is alright until it calls what you like sin. And I feel so disrespected that you were so desperate you would compare your sexual habits to my skin. What? Calling it the new black? Tell me where they do that. They hung us like tree ornaments. Where were you at? They burned us for entertainment. You go through that? Moms raped in front of their kids while they shoot dad. Ever been murdered just for trying to learn how to read, bro?
No.
Show of hands? I ain't think so. So quit comparing the two. It ain't the same fight. You can play straight, we can never play white. Using black people as pawns for your agenda. And these sellout rappers to do whatever you tell them. Sellout. Skirts on stages, campaigning for that black vote. Afraid to be blackballed, so they play that role. You were never oppressed, the devil was a liar. Liars. The only thing oppressed was your sexual desire.
That's all.
Keeping your desires oppressed is so lame to you. But when you get married, that's what you expect your mate to do.
Right?
It angers you if I compare you to a pedophile.
Why?
Cause he's sick, right?
Really?
And you better how.
Man, I ain't choose this.
You think he chose that?
But I was born this.
Well, prove he wasn't born that. But you were never a girl. He was once nine, so at one time in his life, it was just fine. But make your laws right. I'm not buying it, so put him in that same trash can you threw that Bible in. See how that cycle is?
Eh?
Nobody wants to repent of their evil, so we all try justifying it.
We all.
And you say it's about rights, but you lying though. Domestic partnerships gave you rights a long time ago.
Right?
God created marriage when he did. He defined it though, so why is it you want what he created, but deny him though? It's not wicked enough, switching the definition. You want it done by a Christian in a church he worships in.
Really?
And that rainbow you using is a gay pride symbol. It represents a covenant with God if you didn't know. Check Genesis 9:13 for the info. Homie, the
more spiritual. You don't know what you in for. I ain't saying your sin's worse, but it is sin, though. The Lord took the punishment for it all on him, though. We just gotta repent, though. The problem is, if you don't call it sin, then you walk as if there's nothing to repent for. Let's recap. We all wicked and desire sin, but imagine a world where no one kept their desires in. If something was called right simply because we desired it, when your right goes against my right, who's right or win? As for being born away, I should never see y'all ever use a word like retard to describe someone who was born a little differently than we are. I guess Down syndrome really isn't a thing, y'all. What do we call your syndrome? Oh, that term is offensive now when it hits home. So what gives you the right to call the way he was born a defect? I call yours a defect, you feel it's disrespect. You don't believe in God? Hey, the universe says if we all gay, we either die off or have to do it God's way. And God loves you no matter what you struggle with. At least struggle though, don't just give up and quit. Forget how you were born, we were all born in sin. But Christ died for your sin, you can be born again. We're all born in sin, but Christ died so that we could be born again.
Hallelujah. And I never want to act like all gay people are the same, because that's ignorant. But at the same time, what I won't allow you to do is paint this beautiful picture like we don't have people from the LGBT community out here running up in churches, disrupting services, kissing on the pulpit, out here attacking old ladies, throwing crosses down and stomping them, violently assaulting people. So don't take my most aggressive lines that you know or to that group and try to apply it to the friendliest, lovingest gay person, because that's not the case. And to that struggling Christian right now, struggling with homosexuality, fight the good fight, soldier. No matter what anybody says, we all have different desires. We all are drawn towards different sin. And my desire might not be your desire, but I have a desire that's just as strong for another sin. And I have to fight it day in and day out. And sometimes I win, and sometimes I lose. Sometimes I stand, sometimes I fall. But fight the good fight, God is worth it. God bless you. No hate about it. I love you.
So back on the 24th of June, we went down to Cleveland Pride, and it was our first time going down there. I've wanted to go years in the past, but never been able to work that out due to work schedules. But we were able to go down there, myself, my wife, another couple from another church in the area, and a few others from our church. And it was a wonderful opportunity to get down there and share the gospel with people. We weren't exactly sure how we were going to go about that because, again, never being at one, we thought it would be best because of the amount of people that we had going with us, and we had only two people who were experienced in open-air preaching, and we didn't have really anyone else, but the other people that were with us were pretty new to evangelizing. And so we didn't want to leave them on their own while we would do open-air preaching. So we thought the best approach for us at that time with how many people we had going and who we had going was to just stay in groups and evangelize one-on-one, hand out tracts, which worked really well for us. Again, because like I said, we had new people with us and we wanted to stay close enough and in groups where if they were in a conversation and needed some help, we could help out. And but we were able to engage in quite a few conversations while we were out there, handed out a lot of tracts, but like I said, engaged in quite a few conversations. Not everyone was receptive of it, but we didn't really have anything out of hand that took place while we were down there. There was one man I was speaking to, and while I was speaking to him, he was seated on the curb, and I was talking to him, and this lady came by who had on a collar of a, you know, ministerial type of collar, and basically from a gay-affirming church in the area, came by to see if we were being hateful and didn't like it when people were being hateful. Her name was Diane, not a Christian by far, not a minister either, not a preacher. Violates scripture. One, women are not to be in those roles, and then two, the Bible speaks very clearly against homosexuality. Well, she came over and was saying, I'm just making sure you're not out here being hateful to people. And I asked the guy I was speaking to, I said, has this been a hateful conversation? And the man said, no, we were just having a conversation. And so we talked a little bit, and then he didn't want to talk anymore since this lady came over. And so I asked her if we could talk, and being a quote-unquote minister, as she would say, we talked very, very briefly. It did not last very long because she just kept saying, God is love, and he loves everybody, and he accepts everybody. And when confronted with the scriptures, she didn't want to talk anymore. She just said, I don't want to hear it, and walked away. But one of the things I think that we learned from that event is that we went down, we handed out tracts, we tried to engage in conversations with as many people as we could, and we did have some good conversations. But we definitely learned that through some of the interactions, some of the same arguments always come up. Some of the same arguments, they come up. And a lot of the views of Christians that they have come out. And there was one guy who came by, he was a Catholic young man, who said he was a Christian, said he was struggling with homosexuality, but he was a youth leader in his Catholic church. But he came by and wanted to see and kind of get the feel of what we were there for and what we were doing. He kind of was hanging around. I seen it because I gave him a tract, and he kind of just hung around the area. And so I asked him, I said, do you want to talk? And he came over to speak. And realizing that we were not out there to bash homosexuals, but we were out there to share the love of Jesus Christ with him, he respected that, and it was a decent conversation. Again, I don't know whether or not anyone walked away from that repentant. I pray that they did. I pray that they did walk away from that repentant. I pray that they turned to Jesus Christ. I pray that God would give us more opportunity to do that next year when they come to town, or other opportunities that we would have to speak truth into their life, because these gay-affirming churches are not churches at all. They're not churches. They're affirming the very sin and endorsing the very sin and misleading people straight to hell, on their way to hell. And so we want to speak the truth in love into the lives of these people, you know, that are there, the homosexuals, and even the ones that aren't homosexuals but are there supporting it. We want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. I don't know how many people said they were Christians, or how many people said, oh, I know Jesus. And when they started to say that, after a while, I started to ask the question, well, which Jesus do you know? And how do you know this Jesus? Based upon what? You know, and asking them that question because you want to kind of find out where they are, what they are trying to get at as far as what they think they know about Christianity, or what they do know about Christianity. And so therefore, we want to be able to correct that and point them to what the Word of God says. So by asking them questions was able to help us to really engage with them and on a level where they were, but also speaking truth and pointing them to what the Word of God says in that area. And so I want to encourage you, if you have not been able to go out and go to a Pride parade or festival to preach the gospel, not to go in support of it. If you're going in support of it, you need to repent because it's sin, and condoning sin, embracing sin, is sin. So therefore, if you have that opportunity to do so, I would encourage you to go, and don't be afraid to go out and share the gospel with these people who, just like anyone else, need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the most important message. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important message that we can share with anyone. And so we want to take the opportunity to do that any chance we get. And so don't be afraid to do it. I know we were a little hesitant in the beginning of how this was going to go. We wasn't sure if we was going to get any opposition or if it was going to get crazy out of control. And we prayed and asked God to guard our eyes from whatever we may see. And thankfully, we did not see anything really outrageous out there. I mean, there was definitely people dressed or underdressed, but there was nothing like so outrageous that we saw anyways. So God did come through and guarded our eyes and protected us from that. But again, don't be afraid to get out there and speak truth into the lives of people in the homosexual community, the LGBT community. If you have any questions about it, disagree with us, or want to talk what the Bible actually says about it, you can email us at g220radio@gmail.com. Again, we would love to engage with you on this topic and point you to what the Word of God says. It's not our opinion on these things. It's what the Word of God says, and that's what we try to do here at G220 Radio. And what every Christian should try to do in their life is not be so concerned with their opinions and things, but based upon the Word of God. That's how we should live out our lives, based upon what the Word of God says and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
Does he have a relationship with God? You sitting up here talking to a dude and he tells you he's an atheist, you need to pack it up and go home. You know, you're talking to a person who don't believe in God, what's his moral barometer? Where is it at? It's nowhere.
I mean, speaking of God, you say in the book that you wouldn't go out with a woman. I guess a woman should not go out with a man who doesn't believe in God.
No, I mean, why would you?
Well, do you believe that only people who are religious are ethical and moral?
No, I just believe if you don't believe in God, then where's your moral barometer? That's just me talking.
I
you can believe what you want to believe.
Yeah.
But if you're an atheist, you're basing your goodness and morality on what? I mean, but what is an atheist? I don't really get into that. You know, I've talked to people all the time. I'm an atheist. I just walk away. I don't know what to say to you. You know,
well, an atheist is someone who doesn't quite believe that there is somebody out there, some God out there.
Well, then to me, you're an idiot.
Okay, well.
So I'm cool with that. I'm just not, probably
fine.
Not the right politically correct thing
to
say. But if you don't believe in God, I mean, really, you got to have an explanation for this. You just can't tell me this spun out of a gastrous ball.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, then we were evolved from monkeys. Why we still got monkeys? It's too much open here. I just believe that. And if you don't believe that, then I don't like talking to you.
I say.
Well, the first thing I want to say here is that I don't believe any believer should be going to Steve Harvey for advice. They shouldn't be going to seek out to get their questions answered by Steve Harvey. I know he's wrote some books on relationships, and women seem to love to flock to him to get advice on what they should do with their man or relationships in general. And I don't think they should be doing that, especially Christians. They should be going to the Word of God to seek out what the Word of God says about things that they can apply to their life. And if they can't understand things in the Word of God, they need to go to their pastor or go to a more mature, if you're a woman, go to a more mature woman in the faith. Or if you're a man, go to a more mature man in the faith to get information on the questions you may have. But nonetheless, he was speaking in an interview with a lady, and then goes, the interview shifts to where he's on another show having an interview, and he's speaking about basically atheism here. He goes on to say, you have no moral barometer, right? Now, again, I'm not defending Steve Harvey's arguments. I think his arguments are not where we want to go for truth, not where we want to go for our sources. But I thought this was an interesting clip in the fact that here's a man who I don't believe to be a Christian based upon, you know, the things that, I mean, let's face it. I've watched Family Feud that he is a host of, or was a host of. I don't know if he still is. But while visiting with my mom, they were watching that and they thought it was funny. Me and my wife had absolutely no enjoyment in watching it and actually leave the room, or would try to change the channel and get something else on, just because of the jokes were obscene or perverted when he would make jokes with the family, and we just didn't find humor in that. And so the man, just by his fruit, does not appear to be a believer, a true believer in Jesus Christ. Now, of course, in this clip that we hear, he thinks it's, you know, you're an idiot if you don't believe in God, that we just, there's no gastro ball that just explodes into something and then we become evolving to monkeys and so forth and so forth. But I think that just speaks to the fact that the Bible says everyone knows that God exists. Everyone knows that God exists. And the atheist, as he's arguing against atheism is foolish. It is foolish. It's a foolish thing to believe there is no God. Only a fool says in his heart there is no God. That's from the Word of God. So it's foolish to say there is no God. And so from that aspect of the things, yes, Of course, it is a foolish thing to deny the existence of God, because we can see all around us in creation, we can see the general creation around us, that we, this general revelation that we have a creator, as well as God has given us a conscience. And so we can know right and wrong, and we have a moral barometer, so to speak, because God has written it upon our hearts. And I think, though, that it's interesting that this man, again, to my acknowledgement, not a believer, but that this man would see and recognize that, that it is a foolish thing to not believe in God. And I just thought that that was a interesting piece to help show you guys that even those who may profess to be believers but truly are not can see that everywhere you look, God's handiwork is there. You know, God's handiwork is in the stars and the sun and the moon and the planets and all of that, in creation, in the trees and the lakes and the oceans. God's handiwork is everywhere for us to see that. And so we would be foolish to deny that Jesus Christ, who is God, God is the creator of all things and has created us. And so that's why the Bible says that only a fool says in his heart there is no God. And Romans chapter 1 says everyone knows that God exists. So there is no such thing as an atheist. It's just no such thing. Everyone knows that God exists. Even those who try to suppress that and deny that, they would have to have all knowledge to say that. And to be honest, when you ask them, if they're honest, they would say they don't have all knowledge. So even the people that are strong professing atheists really are at best agnostic, where they don't know. They just don't know. They don't have the answer, so they don't know. But to be a atheist would be to say that you know for certain that there is no God. And we know that that cannot be the case, because they would have to know all things for that to be the case. So therefore, I just thought that that would be an interesting clip. You can find it on YouTube or wherever, but I just thought it was interesting. And here's a man who, again, professes, probably, maybe believes in, well, he believes in God, obviously, but I don't believe him to be a Christian, but that he would see that and say, yeah, it's foolish to not believe in God. So if you are watching or listening, not watching, if you're listening to the program and you claim to be an atheist, let me tell you, you know that God exists. You suppress the truth in your unrighteousness, and you must repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. The very God that you rebel against is the very God you will stand before on the day of judgment, whether you want to acknowledge that or not. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you do not repent and turn to Jesus Christ, you will spend an eternity in hell. And we don't want that for you here at G220 Radio. We want you to know Jesus Christ. And so if we can help you in any way, you can email us at g220radio@gmail.com, and we will do that. Until next time, that's been G220 Radio. God bless and good night.
If you have any questions about G220 Radio or would like to leave a comment, you can contact us at g220radio@gmail.com. We would love to hear your feedback. Also, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved in making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you, into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.